Praise the Lord. I believe that the Lord wants us to begin to imagine what might be taking place as we take the time to do what He calls us to do.
Can I share a little thing He shared?
You certainly can. You certainly can.
He just said, as we kneel and are praying, He said, now this is a chance for you to see, if you stood on the Word, He said, this is a chance for you to see it to come manifest physically. He said, but take off your watch, throw away your calendar, don't count hours, don't count months, keep your eyes on Me and don't look at time. And He said, keep your eyes on Me and it will come to pass.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Brother Wayne. Thank you, brother.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Stand. And having done all to stand, stand. Remember, Jesus went to pray and He would come back and He would say, couldn't you just watch with Me for a while? Now, He wasn't even saying that their part was a big part. He was just saying, just, if nothing else, just stay awake while I'm praying. Something might get on you, but if you're asleep, you won't be aware of it, you know? And for us as Christians to wake up to prayer,
amen.
I mean, to go ahead and do that. I've had lots of hours this week to be awake in prayer because I've been coughing. And I've been declaring, and I've been commanding, and I've been rebuking, and I've been receiving, and I've been blessed, and I am healed. The Bible says I was healed, so I am healed, and so that's all there is to it. And it's interesting that, not interesting, it's just a matter of fact that I don't sit around and look for the enemy to confirm the Word of God. But I'm smart enough to realize when the enemy attacks that he's afraid of the Word of God.
Amen.
And he's not particularly tickled about the idea that we've been on a momentum push towards standing up straight, getting it together, being determined to take this thing anywhere, everywhere, anytime, all the time, get our act so much together in what the Lord says in His Word that we refuse to doubt. And as that begins to manifest, as Brother Wayne said, God said, you stand on it, you'll have opportunity to see it. Don't put on your watch and try to figure out what minute it's going to happen. Don't worry about what day it's going to happen. Don't worry about what month it's going to happen. Don't worry about anything. Believe it. I like that. Because on Wednesday, we didn't have a message. Yes, we did. We had a message from the Lord. The message from the Lord was, as Diane said, you stand there, I'll open the sea for you the same way that I did Moses.
Amen.
Okay? We all, at different times, stand at a sea. Sometimes the sea doesn't seem real big to somebody else, but it's a place where we need the waters parted. And the point of the matter is that every water that we trust Him to part prepares us for another water for Him to part. Until we are confident that it don't matter how big the water is, He can part it. But we got to start somewhere. Well, that seems like a silly thing to say to seasoned veterans like yourself. But, so what? We're all the time needing to review and to look and to challenge ourselves and to see, you know? It's like, okay, you might have been more adamant for the Word of God 5 years ago than you are today. Because you might have shifted into neutral. You might have been going along and other things were, you know, going on, and you were doing pretty good, and you got to church, and you read your Bible a little bit, and but, you know, just your zeal could get a little neutral, and you not really notice it. And as the Lord begins to work with us and the Lord starts saying, okay, stand up. Stand up straight. Straighten out. Get your act together. There's things coming. There's opportunities. I mean, the Lord says, just like I parted the waters for Moses, I'll part them for you. Doesn't that get you just a little bit excited? The Lord says, as you pray, and when you have the opportunity now, because you've prayed, you have the opportunity to see it manifest. Quit trying to put some sort of a time frame on it. Just begin to believe it. Begin to stand on it. Begin to walk through it. Begin to run like you got it. You know? The Lord just reminded me of when Vicki and I first started running. She first started running with me. She ran with me because I had a hold of her arm, dragging her. And she didn't think I was a very nice person. But there came a time, as she kept doing it, that we would have days where we would go out to run, and she didn't grab my arm to drag me, but I was running to keep up with her. And she just kept going. And the thing is that we come to these times, we come to these opportunities, and the Spirit of the Lord says, keep going. This is not a time to put it in neutral. This is not a time to coast. You know, excuse me, sometimes when I'm driving, maybe you've done this too, sometimes like when I'm in the mountains or something like that, and get to go downhill, well, I'll put it in neutral. I think that will help my gas mileage, you know. But have you ever noticed? There's two things that can happen. One is you always come to the bottom. And then you have to accelerate. There's another thing that happens is it looks like you're going downhill, but you really aren't. I've never figured out how they do that. But it looks like you're going downhill, but I look in my rearview mirror and I still know I'm going uphill. But if I don't look in my rearview mirror first and I punch off the cruise control to coast, it's the strangest thing. Suddenly I'm having a hard time going downhill. Well, it's because I'm not going downhill anymore. Paying attention, I won't have that happen. In our walk with God, we need to keep the pedal to the metal. We need to keep going. The thing that keeps it going is our confidence in the Word of God, in our confidence that there is more, that we have not yet come to the fullness of it. The understanding that there may be something out ahead of us that we need some momentum to get through. If you've ever watched, sometimes the great replays, like on football, will be where somebody started hot-dogging and slowing down to get into the end zone. And somebody coming after them didn't slow down. And caught them and knocked the ball out of their hand before they got their touchdown. And they not only lost the 6 points, but that person looked stupid forever. Because they slowed down. Didn't stay the course. Happens in everything. You know? Happens in everything. Happens in business. Happens in every manner of thing where people don't stay the course. And the Lord has commanded us that we should do that. These are the ones, and this is in Mark chapter 4, which he's speaking of the sowing. The sower sows the word. Talking about good ground, not so good a ground, bad ground, rocky ground. And he says, but these are the ones sown in good ground, those who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit. Hear the word and accept it. You can come here for the last 25 years. That's how long we've been doing this, for those of you that have been here the whole time. You could come here for the last 25, or you've been someplace else for the last 25 years. And in 25 years, you should hear a lot of word, and you could accept none of it if you wanted to. Excuse me. And as we walk, it is obvious of how much of it we accept. And sometimes, as we are accepting it, one time we're accepting it a little better, then we are accepting it another time. The thing is, we have to hear the word and accept it all the time. It's good all the time. It's not good just, healing is not just good when I need healing. Healing is good all the time. Accepting healing gives you health. I told the Lord throughout this week, I said, well, Lord, if I open the door for this, then bless God, I'm shutting that baby hard. But the other thing is I just want to go on record as saying I like health better than I like healing. But at the same time, I give him thanks and praise because I know that he's interceding for me and he's standing in the gap for me, and that some wonderful, wonderful thing is breaking loose because of it, and it's a resistance of the enemy to what God is doing.
Amen.
It brings it up. He does not like good things to happen. He does not like us to accept the Word of God. He does not like us to just believe it without reservation. He likes us to parlay the Word, to fillet the Word, to get the Word to, you know, I mean, it's like, okay, you fillet fish because you don't like to have to pick bones, you know? Well, I never heard of filleting a fish. I grew up eating bullheads. And so you grow up eating bullheads, you learn how to eat fish. It's a challenge. You have to pick the bones. You fillet them, well, that's good. But man, you might miss some meat somewhere. You don't cook the whole fish. But, you know, I mean, that's... The thing is that that's what the enemy likes us to do, is check out the Word. Now, the devotion went out on Wednesday, and Wednesday night I had a note from someone that said, yeah, we need to accept it. Too many people have accept in their thinking. E-X-C-E-P-T. I will accept this, except I don't like this part. Well, that's why we have to hear the Word and accept it with no exceptions. No exceptions. It's always the same. God's Word is true. It's right all the time. No exceptions. Look at our society and the way that it's being just tumble dried because of all the exceptions people want to put on the moral rules of God. I just read an email this morning, and I wouldn't have even read it except for the fact that the headline said that a Christian woman was, that a judge took her baby from her, told her to give that baby to her ex-lesbian mate. The grounds that the other mate, the ex-mate, was using, that it wasn't a healthy atmosphere for the child to be raised now in a Christian home. How can they be so stupid and still breathe? Now, here's how bad this is. The baby was the Christian woman's baby. She gave birth to the baby. The ex-partner has no ties whatsoever to the child, and in fact hadn't even contacted the child for 5 years, but now all of a sudden comes in and is going to use the gay rights thing to steal this child, and some judge is going to say yes. That's taking the exception to the rule so far that it's going to look clear. They say that even the gay rights blogs are saying there's something wrong with this. That's not a nice thing to do to the baby. Hello? Light's coming on. And out of that terrible thing, we're going to trust that the light is going to come on completely. But you see, that started because of exceptions to the rule. Remember when you learned to spell, there was all these things, I before E, except after C. You're going to make a word into a compound word or something like that, or you're going to make it into you're going to add, drop the Y, add IE. You got all those rules in spelling. But the exceptions to the rules, those are the ones that mess people up. This except in this point. Dima used to say to me, why do you do that? I don't know. For a Russian learning English, it didn't make any sense to change the spelling of things. But then they couldn't understand why we had so many words that meant so many different things. We got all these words in English. the exceptions. But what happens is in the spelling, those exceptions became our rules. That was part of the rules of our spelling. And in order to pass the test, you needed to know the whole rule, which included the exception, the amendment, so to speak. Well, that's fine in spelling. But it's not so fine if you start considering it in the Word of God. If you start saying, except. There's any number of people, and I'm not, there's no way that I'm going opposing or shedding a bad light on these people, because the Bible tells me to love, and that's with no exception. But there are people caught in a deception that say, I believe in God, I just don't believe in the born again stuff. I believe in God except for the born again. I believe in God except I don't like to go to church. I believe in God except I don't like that kind of worship. I believe in God except this. I believe in God except I don't believe in speaking in tongues. I believe, you know, those exceptions. And every exception, then, what do? If you're going to have one exception, that exception is going to run over into other things. Because one of the things that you are having an exception about is going to be related to something else that exception went with. In other words, if you say, well, I believe in God, but except I don't like that tongue talking. Well, if you're going to not like that tongue talking, guess what? What are you going to do with prophecy? What are you going to do with all of the other things that go with it? What are you going to do with the miracles? Because, well, it's all part of it. So are you going to say to God, God, I like this part, except I don't like this part? Well, no. God's just going to say, you'll come around to it. No exceptions. Accept the word with no exceptions. Because if we don't do that, We've got to imagine what those exceptions are going to do. If I don't like one part, how am I going to have the other part? You know, we can sit and we can say, well, man, those crazy people that don't believe in being born again. Well, the only reason that they don't believe in being born again is because somebody long ago came up with that exception and they said, you don't need that part. This is an exception. Those people are overemphasizing something that, you know, really isn't necessary, and they took that for their rule. And because they took that for their rule, until the light shines on them, they're standing around saying, I believe in God, I just don't believe in being born again. We saw a man out here on a political thing saying, I believe in God, I'm not born again or anything. And I sat there and I thought, that's an oxymoron. How can you say you believe in God, but you're not born again? You don't really believe in God. That's all there is to it. Because if you really believed in Him, you'd get born again, wouldn't you? I remember well when I had my friend that said to me, so are you born again and everything? And I said, I don't know. I just know that this God thing has drastically changed my life, dramatically. I mean, it's crazy, but I guess I don't know about that part. I hadn't really considered that part. What meaneth this? The next time I saw him a couple weeks later, I said, I got the answer. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yeah, I'm born again and everything. I'm right over the edge. And I think I'm going further over the edge. I'm always looking for another cliff to jump off deeper into the kingdom of God. We've got to hear it and accept it with no exceptions. Now, these are all real peripheral things we've talked about so far, okay? But there's no exception to God's command to love. If God commands to love, then that's love the people that are easy to love and love the people that aren't easy to love. I don't mean you sleep with them. It means that you love them. Even your enemies. Notice in the prayer and reflection, it had pray for your friends and your unfriends. We've all got unfriends who we are tempted to be unfriendly to. Well, until we can be friendly to them, we probably better just stay far away from them. Love them from afar. Some people are easier to love from afar, correct? If the Word of God says forgive, then there's no exception. Some people will say, well, you know, I can forgive, but I can't forgive that. No, you won't forgive that. You can forgive everything. There's no exceptions. Well, God understands. God understands that you're making an exception. God understands that you are not accepting the fact that He is able to make you able to do everything that He says. God understands that. But don't think that God goes, well, that's okay. You can have an exception to the rule if you want to, because you're special to me. No, that's not what He says. He says, for as long as you have an exception to the rule, you are going to put a drain on the kingdom of God in your life. Everything, the speed at which you accept the Word of God is directly related to the speed at which the kingdom of God flows in your life. Every exception that you make in the Word of God puts up a wall for the kingdom of God working in your life. That's why we have to accept it with no exceptions. We need to understand the cost of, one, not accepting the Word for what it says in the first place, and two, what exceptions do to us. And the enemy is constantly trying to get you to make exceptions to the rules. This is not new. That's the first thing that he did to Eve. He got her to believe that God had an exception to the rule for her. No. Did he really say you would die? No. He knows that if you eat that, you're going to be like him. And he's jealous and he's trying to keep something from you. And so she said, I'm going to have that. And she made an exception to God's rule. And the story's still being written about that. Where do the exceptions to God's rules go? And God's rules for you, there are individual things that God works with you on, where He says to you something. And you can't decide that what He says to you about something is what everybody else has to do first. You have to receive that rather than thinking that you are the exception to the rule. Because He deals with this at different times in different ways. So there's the broad things. There's like love, do it. Bless, do it. Give, do it. I mean, those are easy. You just do those things. But then there are those things that He tells you specifically yourself. That person that you really don't want to forgive, He says directly to you, you forgive. Doesn't say anything about you forgive when they do something. It says you just forgive. Leave vengeance, leave the rest of it up to me. I'll take care of that. You, for your part, make sure that you have forgiven. You, without exception, do the Word of God. No matter what it is, determine in our hearts, I hear it and I accept it. So many times, and we've mentioned this before, but it keeps coming up. The Lord brought it up to me again about this, where so many people try to use the Bereans as an excuse to dissect the Word of God. They make it seem like they took it and did everything they could to prove that it didn't work. That's not what it says. It says that they studied that to make sure that these things were so. Okay? If you go and hear a message about healing, how do you study it to make sure that it's so? Practice it. Put it into action. They studied the Scriptures to see that these things were so. They studied and they found out that they were so. They weren't out trying to disprove them. They were out applying them. That's how I see that. That they were applying the Word of God, expecting it to be what it was, the Word of God. So many times, people make an exception or take exception to the Word of God so much that they won't even apply it. And therefore, never see the result of it, and then make fun of those who do have results of it. When they had the outpouring going on in Florida, there was a lot of God stuff going on. Some of it you were best to listen to rather than watch, but it doesn't make any difference. There was a lot of God stuff going on. People getting healed. Tremendous worship. You know, I mean, it was just awesome. And there were some people that even when there came up catastrophes from within it, they said, man, this is going to go on, and it is still going on. And there were others that it was like it was a relief. Good, we found something wrong with this. So we don't have to pay any attention to it whatsoever. People are flawed things. People can mess things up. But you better be able to recognize the things that God does. You've got a screw loose somewhere if you can sit and think that the devil convinces people to worship God for hours. No? Oh, it was all the devil. Oh, yes. The devil orchestrates worship to God like crazy just so he can sneak in a little plug once in a while. No, no, no. You're messed up if you think that. The devil may spend every one of those hours trying to cause a problem in somebody to see if he can stop what God is doing, but he don't worship God. He hates God. And we have to accept the Word of God without exception. The truth is the truth. If it comes from a jackass, it's still the truth. Or a donkey, to be more politically correct. But the truth is the truth. And we need to accept the truth without exception. And our first move should not always be to, well, we'll see. Our first move should be, boy, that sounds good. God, I'm going with your truth. And if it's not the truth, then stop me. Because otherwise, some people never get going. Yeah? It's like somebody buys a car and spends their whole life going, ooh, that's a nice car. This is a nice car. Oh, how fast will it go? Don't know. Never drove it. How does it corner? I don't know. What? Never drove it. The heater work? Don't know. Never started it. But it's a nice car. Oh, I like that. Yes, sir. Went out and bought me a new combine. How many acres it'll do? Don't know. Never started it. The Word of God, we need to assume that the Word of God does what the Word of God says. So then we need to have our ears on to hear it, and then we need to apply it. We need to apply it and apply it and apply it without exception. There's no place that it does not work. No place. And praise God, I thank you again for that word, Wayne, because that is so good. It is so good. You have the opportunity to see it manifest. Throw away everything that could limit the manifestation of it. Because if you have your watch and you're trying to limit it by a watch, as soon as that watch goes too far, you're going to quit believing for it. If you've got a calendar and you go by that calendar and you set a time, when if it's God, it'll happen by that time. If that day comes on the calendar, you just dropped it. You just lost it. But when you throw all of that away and you believe that when you pray, God hears you, when you accept the Word of God with no exceptions, when you will fight before you will drop that word, when you will hold on to that, like a child holds on to a toy. When I used to play football, it was illegal for somebody to try to take the ball away from you. I mean, to obviously try to take the ball away. If you fumbled it, that was okay. But it was illegal. If they saw somebody trying to steal, stealing was not legal. Now, you ever watch a football game? They practice. They have drills in practice where they practice how to punch that ball out. They've got a plan where if one guy's got the tackle and they don't have to worry about the guy getting away, the next guy comes in, he's punching, he's jerking, he's grabbing, he's trying to steal that away, and man, they're holding on. And they're getting kudos, they're getting great praise from the announcers because they hold on to the ball in the midst of that. What do you think God's doing when you're holding on to the Word in the midst of the enemy coming in? A whole flock of demons coming in to steal it from you, and you're holding on to the Word. No exceptions. No exceptions. No exception to any part of the Word of God. If you find yourself in the Word of God, and you better be in the Word of God. But if you find yourself reading the Word of God, and you find in your heart something that says, well, except for this one time. Or, except, this person just sort of annoys me. Or, except this, or except that. You just listen for that voice of the Holy Spirit to say, I said, no exceptions. No exceptions. You want to see the Word of God, the Kingdom of God, flow freely to you and through you, then have no exceptions. You can pass every test if you just have no exceptions to the rules that God has laid out, to what the Word of God says. But these are the ones sown in good ground, those who hear the Word, accept it, and bear fruit. Because they made no exceptions. That's not written in that scripture, but that's what I believe the Spirit of the Lord would say to us. No exceptions. Accept the Word with no exceptions. It's not, but my church says something, or so-and-so said something. What does the Word of God say? It's not, well, yeah, but I prayed and it didn't work for me. It's, what does God say? Well, I've been waiting a long time and I just think God's forgotten me. What does God say? Accept it with no exceptions. This is your opportunity to see it manifest. If God says this is your opportunity to see it manifest, then that means it's manifesting. So then that means we can anticipate it. Correct? We can anticipate it. Because it says what it says. Just a footnote. Wednesday night, I think it was, Julie said, because I was talking about Christmas, Julie said, it's misspelled on the sign. I said, what? It's misspelled on the sign. And then somebody else said, well, we noticed that too, but I thought, I looked at that twice when I put it up. I closed it up, I've read it 50 times driving past it, and it's misspelled. I went out, guess what? It was misspelled. I had Christmas, C-R-H-I-S-T-M-A-S. It still said Christmas to me. I fixed it now, but it still said the truth to me. The Word of God is the truth. Things now are not as they will be. Things may not appear to be just right, but the Word says the same thing. And if we will choose the Word and accept the Word and determine to have no exceptions, none, 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 I tell you that what God is wanting to do is to open the sea. He is wanting us to, as soon as we have prayed, recognize that we just created the opportunity to see the manifestation. Amen. Ooh, that's good news. That's good news. That's good news. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, we choose to accept the truth. No exceptions. And right now, Lord, I pray that each and every one of us will covenant in our hearts to come to you and ask you. I ask you, Lord, to reveal to us the exceptions that we have created ourselves, knowingly or unknowingly, that have kept us from seeing the manifestation that you intend for us. And Lord, we will immediately correct those, and we will go forth then with a new determination. Hey, it's the truth. No exceptions. It's the truth. no exception, so that everywhere we go, people will know that we are people who make no exceptions when it comes to the Word of God. And I thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen? And we ask, Lord, that you would bless our fellowship and our feasting in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.